You're listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners. To donate, click on the Canada Helps button or go to westhill.net/donate.
It really is a spectacular movie, and every review online refers to the visuals, the work that Sandra Bullock must have undertaken to be able to hold those positions, looking as though she's doing it weightlessly and with incredible grace. The visuals, the experience of being in space, as close as you could possibly get without actually being there, everyone recognizes as an astounding feat. An incredible opportunity for us to experience something that most of us, I don't think any of you are going to experience it, but you never know. Maybe some of the kids downstairs. Ever experienced that weightlessness, that being out beyond the gravitational pull that we experience on a day-to-day basis? Of course, the whole thing is taking place within the gravitational pull because the story is taking place while they orbit the Earth, trying to fix the Hubble telescope and then trying to get back to the International Space Station. All of it's taking place in this slow orbit around the planet. So that gravity is actually at play even in the midst of that weightlessness. The story itself is a fairly simple story, and some of the reviewers noted that the dialogue, that the plot, that the characters, that there wasn't really a whole lot there to get hold of. And those who critiqued it baldly, arguing in one case that Sandra Bullock's role as Ryan Stone was so Hollywood as to make it practically pasteboard, that she couldn't do anything without the man helping her, that she was uncertain and nervous and always, her first impulse was always wrong, and she always appeared to need rescuing, even to the point that Kowalski has to come back in at the end and save her again. But I think that perhaps the simplicity of that story was so that we could experience the larger picture that was going on in the movie, so that the dialogue and the monologues, so that the characters, aside from Ryan's name being a guy's name for a female part, wouldn't get in the way of our being able to perhaps experience something bigger that was going on. I'm going to share perspectives from three different reviews, not necessarily the reviews, but just little things that I picked out of them. And the first one is about being attached. Throughout the movie, the first thing you notice is that Kowalski isn't attached at first. He's just beeping himself around all over the place, using this little jetpack to get here or get there. And that Stone is attached. She's hooked on, doing her thing, and not wanting to let go. For good reason. I mean, who would want to just go floating away out there with no way to get back? So she's hooked on through most of the film. At one part, though, she ends up, because she's hooked on, in a situation of potential trauma and complete death, whirling around as a piece of the telescope that she's been attached to, itself breaks free and goes flying around. We should always put spoiler alerts on these videos before we post them, because I won't tell you everything, but I'll tell you pretty much everything. So she's floating around because she stayed attached to this arm that she was working upon, but she gets saved eventually by Kowalski, who hooks her to him. And then the two of them start making their way over to the space station so that they can hopefully get back to Earth. Now, it's kind of a push and pull thing. You watch Kowalski, you know, jets himself forward only to be yanked back as soon as the tether becomes taut and Stone's weight keeps him from going as forward as he'd like to. And it's a push-pull jerky motion all the way over to the space station. But when they get there, again, tragedy strikes. The whole point of the movie is wrapped around the intentional blowing up of a satellite by the Russians, which I don't know whether they figured it would happen or not. One would think that you'd know there'd be debris if you blew up a satellite. But the debris from the satellite is spinning around the Earth, and about every hour and a half it's going to come through their field and start hitting them again. And that happens, so that they barely make it to the space station and they're whirled off again. Stone saves Kowalski this time, manages to grab on to his tether. Whether or not it's her that needed to hang on or him, but she gets him, and she's tied herself just by her foot to the space station, which is itself purely debris by this time in the movie. But Kowalski won't stay hooked on to her. His momentum has him pulling away from the space station, away from her possibly getting into the hatch and saving herself. And so as he lets himself go and moves away into certain death, he coaches her in what she needs to do, where she needs to go, how she can get into the space station, what she needs to do when she gets there. Her confidence, Hollywood style, always rock bottom and following what the guy says until she manages to get herself into the space station. The reviewer, whose name is Daryl Manson, was pointing out that in our lives, we have attachments all over the place. And that we have to, maybe the movie is telling us, we have to pay attention to which ones we should hold on to and which ones we should let go of. When you hold on to an attachment, the movie suggests to begin with, that's a good thing. You could be very safe holding on to things. Except when it's not safe and it becomes dangerous. When we think about the attachments we have in our lives to our lifestyle, to the people in our lives, to our families of origin, to the idea we have of who we are and what we can accomplish, to the roles that we play in our day-to-day lives, to almost anything, we have this attachment to it because it's part of our routine or it's part of our heritage or it's part of what helps us identify who we are. We place things around us. We make our homes comfortable by putting things that we're attached to around our homes, not because they're pretty, but because they reflect back to us who we are. They remind us that we are those people. We're attached to all those kinds of things. Periodically, though, through our lives, chaos opens up before us this great yawning gaping hole, and we tumble in and we lose some of those attachments. We lose some of the things that help us understand who we are. We lose our jobs, we lose our partners, we lose our kids because they grow up and go away. We lose our sense of self, we lose our self-confidence, we lose our health, and so our desire, our expectation of a great future. And Kowalski and Stone, in their back and forth, push-pull, in their letting go and hanging on, help us question that. What is it that we hang on to at our peril? And what is it that we must let go of in order to thrive or survive? And how do we thrive and survive when those things that we believe we really need are no longer available for us? Attachment is a key element in this phenomenal movie. The next review the next theme I want to bring up is from the New Yorker's review by David Denby, and it's about silence. One of the amazing things about the film was that there were long periods of silence in it. No background noise, no music, know anything. And Stone actually uses that when Kowalski says, you know, what is it like about it out here? And she says, silence. She likes the silence. It gives her space to think, space to let her mind go where it wants to go, away from the busyness and the cacophony of life. She likes the silence. At the same time, there's an incredible score that's overwhelming, and the music is almost traumatic throughout the film. You can't watch it without gripping something. It has you on the edge of your seat in every single moment. And sometimes the pounding score is a huge part of that until you drop into that space of silence that comes when it suddenly stops. And I think that Caron was trying to help us recognize that into our lives, this crazy noisiness of life, those times of silence are maybe the times when we sort things out, when we have an opportunity to consider our attachments, when we see what's going on. We took Scott's mom to out for dinner on Friday evening to Tucker's Marketplace. And I can't find a more chaotic, crazy place to eat a meal if you tried. There are people walking all over the place, and there's kids, and there's, you know, food and wait staff, and you go through 7 different plates, and in the midst of that kind of life, because Tucker's is really just a metaphor for how we live our everyday, we need that space, that silence. But I think that takes us to that, to the third element that I want to raise. And that's the movie as a reflection on our existential angst, on our loss of the concepts that have held us in place, that have been our tethers throughout most of our history, that have helped us understand the universe, made sense of it for us, given us something to fall back on, so that even when we collapse into that huge, yawning, chaos-filled gulf of nothing, into that silence, there was something holding on to us, something that said it was all going to be okay. That even if things didn't turn out the way we wanted them in our experience of life now, here, until we die, something was going to order it after that. Perhaps Caron is trying to actually get us to wrestle with what it's doing to humanity to lose those myths, those stories, those tethers that we have held on to all this time. I don't know that he's saying it's a good thing or a bad thing, but Stone can't stand the silence. In the end, what she loved so much about being out in space, about being an astronaut, couldn't give her the comfort she needed. She had to find on the radio a voice, a language she didn't understand, but it gave her something that she could hold to, because that silence, that emptiness, wasn't enough. It wasn't good enough for her. We live in a world that has changed radically, and whether or not this place has within it stories that hold us or stories that set us free, and I know that there are people in the congregation that hold to some of those stories because they continue to order the world for you, and that's a good thing. And others for whom those stories no longer hold them, they're free-falling, I guess, in this weightlessness, that's a good thing too. Either place, if it serves what our hearts need, if it allows us to sleep at night, it's a good thing. But the world is moving on, and humanity is evolving. And our understanding, as those understandings of those stories came clashing together, one story to another, it broke down the vessels that were holding each of those stories to the point that they're all cracked and crumbling. And so the assumptions that we had about the universe being safe under the benevolent gaze of a divine being, those assumptions may work for individuals, but they're no longer working for society. They're no longer working for humanity as a whole. And Caron, I think, and his son are looking at that question. What next? What can help us as we live our lives out, detached, in free fall, no longer able to bear the silence? In the end, what saves Stone is that voice, not just the voice on the radio, though. That gave her the comfort and the calm to make sense of what was happening in her life, the loss she was going to experience, the giving up of life that she was offering. It was a human moment, though, that brought her back to life, that sowed inside herself that desire to live. It was a human moment. How it happened doesn't matter. It was the sense that she could, that through the support, the connection, the challenge of something that had gone before, a human moment, a memory, a synapse that fired, that she could come back from this weightless experience of silence and nothingness and find the will to live. I don't think that you would ever go through that and have a sense that life was all that there is, that it was a thing that could come or go and you could be indifferent about it. I think that you could only ever think that it was something sacred and beautiful and worthy and valuable. And through that process of letting go, I believe Stone found something that she could hold on to in life. But I think Caron is telling us something different. Not just that we should follow Stone's example and hold on to life, but that each one of us, untethered from everything that orders our world and helps us understand it, each one of us individually has to find a story, has to find another human, has to find a piece, a little bit of themselves that calls them into the next day. Or perhaps only the next moment. And that brings them to a place of comfort and understanding with this world that we know so little about. In the spiral nature of this film, in the fact that in these grave issues, we can't let go no matter how much we want to, in the fact that we're held together, one to the other, even when we're alone, I think all these messages of this movie are important ones. Whether we're attached or not, whether we have the privilege of silence or can't stand it, whether we have an understanding of the world that holds us one to the other, or whether our responsibility is to do that for ourselves, we know that we are called to be in community just by the nature of being human. And I think Caron was reminding us of that, even though he had to go so far away from it in order to help us see it. Amen.